But yesterday was supposed to be opening day. We spent a long time yesterday talking about the, I guess, emotions that were pouring over us. The fact that we were hopeful we were going to be watching Jays baseball. It was supposed to be Jays Sox down at the Dome yesterday. And obviously we know that didn't happen. And we've known for quite some time it wasn't going to happen. But if we were emotional about it and we were disappointed, I can only imagine our next guest would probably be as emotional, if not more. He is the president and CEO of the Blue Jays. Back on Overdrive, here is Mark Shapiro. How are you holding up over there, Mark?
Well, I'm probably very similar to you guys and most of the listeners. I am literally holed up in my house, as I have been since I returned from Dunedin. And like you guys said, not doing what I should be doing this time of year. And as you guys are both athletes and have been around professional sports, you know, we are creatures of routine and we are creatures of the calendar. And for 29 years, my calendar and my clock has been, we're playing baseball as soon as we leave spring training. And obviously we're mirroring the broader community and world right now, but we're not playing baseball, which is strange and difficult.
Mark, we had Bo Bichette on yesterday, and you know, obviously he echoed your sentiments as well as being disappointed to not playing, but he also came off very confident of what he felt the group was able to potentially achieve this season. And once you guys do get back and rolling, and he basically said he thought that the group was going to surprise a lot of people. And I know the pundits have talked about maybe where you guys are projected for wins and losses, but would you echo some of the confidence that Bo came off with?
Well, I think what is coolest maybe about our team and spending the time around them in spring training, we obviously had a really good spring that was fun to be around those guys and watch them play and watch their energy. But what we felt from guys like Bo and Kevin and Vladdy and Danny Jansen and Lourdes as we went through the off season was their belief in each other, their belief in our team, and their firm belief that their time frame was not going to be the time frame that the rest of the baseball world, including us, were probably putting on them. Was that their time is now. And I think that as Ross and our baseball ops group went through the off season, the strength and the conviction to make, you know, big decisions like Hyunjin Ryu, were founded a lot in their belief in each other. And to watch them in spring training was hard to deny the meaning of that belief.
Well, you mentioned that you're at home, you're self-isolating like a lot of people. So what does your day look like? Are you thinking more on the business side? Are you thinking more on the player side? What are you trying to achieve?
A little of both, but, you know, I think my job normally calls for me to kind of pivot to wherever the highest leverage activity is. And quite honestly, unfortunately, right now there's not a lot of baseball activity. A lot of the time has been on league-related matters, contributing and participating to the agreement that was reached late last night between the union and MLB, thinking through scenarios as they, about resumption of play, scheduling, working with our organization's leaders in a variety of areas, to ensure that both we're just connecting and communicating, even though we often don't have a lot of concrete news to put out there. Much like I'm on with you guys, I can't give you a bunch of concrete information because I don't have any. You know, we're all kind of in the same situation. We're in an unprecedented situation. We're in uncharted waters. We're just doing the best we can to communicate as frequently as we can. We're connecting at every level, from players to coaching staff to front office staff, as often as we possibly can. We had a virtual town hall today, you know, for our staff, and just trying to be consistent in those efforts.
With Mark Shapiro, a lot of the big, you know, shooter insiders in baseball, Jeff Passan, Rosenthal, et cetera, reporting that one of the conditions, there's a couple of conditions I want to get to, and I'd like to see if you can give us more detail on. One of the conditions is between the MLB and the PA, that they will not resume play in 2020 until there are no bans on mass gatherings that would limit the ability to play in front of fans. That is an evergreen topic throughout baseball, the NBA, the NHL, et cetera. What are the details on that, and where do you stand on that, the idea of potentially returning and not playing in front of fans?
Well, the details on that, you know, there really were none. I think that's just logic, that if we can't travel, if we can't move freely from stadium to stadium, if we can't move freely from Canada to the U.S. or the U.S. to Canada, if there are limitations and bans in place, because frankly, our players alone are a gathering of more than 10, then we're not going to be able to resume play safely. And from the start, as we kind of went through the cascade of decision-making that we had to go through, the very first set of standards in place were safety of our fans first and our players second. So I think all that's saying is we're not going to resume until we feel like it's safe for our players and for our fans. Yet it doesn't take out the possibility that every scenario is in play, including the one you discussed. I think, you know, again, those are all things that are going to be considered moving forward.
Well, you guys are on an island in a way, you know, at the best of times. There's 29 teams in the continental United States, and then there's the 30th team that's up here in Canada. And you mentioned, you know, travel restrictions throughout the U.S. and Canada. I could envision a situation here potentially where the U.S. is up and running, but if Canada still has their border closed, essentially the Blue Jays are going to dictate when baseball is going to be up and running again. Am I reading that correctly?
I mean, again, that's a little more granular. We have been dealing with such a huge amount of information and decisions that we haven't got to that scenario. I don't think that scenario is going to happen. I think when you look at the news and kind of, you know, what I hope that we're seeing is kind of New York's a little bit of an outlier. New York is, you know, the curve that we'll all watch. And as New York starts to get to the other side of the curve, then we can all start to plan about a resumption of business, which is in everyone's best interest, including, you know, our biggest trade partner and their biggest trade partner. So, you know, I don't think that's going to be an issue from a timing perspective, because I think the timing will coincide. We'll deal with whatever it is when we get there and be happy to be playing baseball, but I don't think that's among the concerns right now.
With Mark Shapiro, President and CEO of the Blue Jays here on Overdrive, obviously everything is shut down at this point, but I was thinking about it, just prepping for you to come on, how this might affect player development. And I think of a guy like Nate Pearson, who is you know, the talk of Toronto. I know he was the talk of Dunedin, and we were tracking him closely up here. Everyone was buzzing about what he was doing throughout the spring. How, but not only him, I mean, there's a bunch of kids that you've got a lot of time for and you want, you know, to see develop properly. How might this affect the timeline of some of your higher end prospects, considering we're all on shutdown right now?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only comfort I would take is that it affects every team and every organization the same. Not ideal, but we're dealing with far graver issues and far bigger matters than ideal player development right now. And I think the reality is that it's an interruption that's unprecedented that we have no control over. We can control how we react. We can control how we think about it. We're doing some interesting things with our players to try to encourage them to continue to work on kind of pitch planning and thinking about attacking hitters and simulations. But developing our pitchers right now, Nate or anybody else, is not happening. Once we have clarity on when we're returning, once we have clarity on what our resumption looks like and when that is, then I can answer the question better for you. For right now, I can just tell you it is what it is. It's an interruption, and we're going to have to deal with it just like every other team.
Okay, let's get to some of the stuff that we feel comfortable talking about here, because, you know, eventually we're going to get back to playing, and we have a good idea of who's going to be on the field down at the Rogers Center and rolling out this year, whether it's in 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, etc. So I want to throw some players at you, Mark, and I think these are prominent players, young players. I'd like to get your opinion on how you, Ross, you know, the whole organization feel about, you know, the expectations for this season and what you would like to see these individual players accomplish and grow upon in terms of their overall game. Let's begin with Bo Bichette. What do you What do you hope he will achieve and he can take with him from 2020 that, that he can develop throughout his career?
Well, I mean, I think with Bo, he's been so exceptional in so many ways, including the way he transitioned to the big league last year. I think, you know, continue to mature, continue to develop, understand the league's going to make adjustments to him. But he has a fire and a drive and a desire not just to be a good player, but to be a great player. He has a level of belief in himself that is rare in any field and in any sport. And so I think that that, along with the talent and natural ability he's got, that's a very good combination. We'd like to hope that he continues to take responsibility for leadership in his own very individual and personal way and style, and that he just keeps getting better, because it's hard to imagine him not getting better because of the way he goes about his business.
Vladdy Guerrero Jr.
I mean, I think the areas of development for Vladdy are so well chronicled. I don't even need to get into them. You know, again, I think for him, it's so amazing. He just turned 21. So I think continuing to mature, continuing to build an understanding of what the routines are, what championship level routines are. He's going to be a very good player no matter what. I'd like to see him, you know, move closer to the routines and work standards that make good players great, because I think he has a chance to be one of the great hitters in the league.
Is that more on the field or off the field?
I mean, it's again, I think routines are on and off the field. They're the way you go about your daily life, from the time you get to the ballpark to the time you go to sleep at night. So it's all those things. It's just learning. It's things that you would never expect a 21-year-old in any other walk of life to have to be able to handle or deal with, but that, you know, the professional sports world, you know, places on guys like this.
With Mark Shapiro again, we're detailing what some of the prominent young players on this team, what Mark and others within the organization are hoping to see out of them in terms of development this upcoming season. What about Kevin Biggio?
Yeah, Cav, you know, again, just went through he probably the most encouraging thing about him was the fact he went through his struggle last year, came out of that and finished extremely strongly. I think for him, it's just, again, not just maintaining the strength of his strike zone discipline, but also picking his spots to be a little more aggressive in certain counts and letting his ability to drive the ball play in even more consistently. But you certainly would sign up for the year he had, you know, for the next 6 or 7 years very happily.
Yeah, you mentioned his, you know, he had a down period, I believe it was in August, where he wasn't getting on base, if at all, and he wasn't making great contact. In September, though, he was spectacular. We've had these conversations before, though, Mark. How much stock can you put in September of 2019 and apply it to, you know, March and April of 2020, but you're a believer in what you saw at Biggio, clearly.
Yeah, I think the conversation we had before is you got to be really leery of guys that come up in September,
right,
and just perform. But he didn't do that. You know, he was up, the league saw him, he got off to a really good start, the league made some adjustments, and then he adjusted back. So I do put credence in that. Where I'm very cautious and really concerned is saying, hey, a guy comes up and has a great September, and that's when he comes up. I'm a little leery to read too much into that.
Well, and I think that safely would apply to Danny Jansen a couple of years ago, who had a spectacular September. And last year at the plate, his numbers weren't great, quite frankly. But you guys are believers in him. I know you're a big fan. I know a lot of baseball is a big fan, yeah, of that position in general, in terms of the depth you have throughout the organization. But what are you, yeah, hoping to see out of Danny this year?
I mean, Danny, you know, two things. One, if you guys followed spring training, he made some major adjustments with his spring and was having the best offensive camp of anyone in spring training. I do put limited credence in that, but for a guy that makes an adjustment and then sticks to it all spring, that's extremely encouraging. That combined with the fact that he had a heck of a track record in the minor leagues as a guy that put the bat on the ball and made impact when he did it. So all of the projections for him are really good. And then maybe the most encouraging thing about him, I think it's something I mentioned last year, is that when he was struggling, and his struggles weren't just small, they were enormous struggles, he was still the first guy to the ballpark every day. He was still committed to making his pitchers better. Players like that, you know, are going to make everyone on the team better. They have an impact on the entire pitching staff, you know, and I do think he's going to progress and get better as a hitter. When he does, the upside for him is that he's a very good catcher already, a good framer, a good thrower, and a good leader of our pitching staff. So it's obvious for him, just the offense, you know, getting back to what he did in the minor leagues, or at least getting closer to that. And we have a chance to have a very special leader and player at a middle of the diamond position.
With Mark Shapiro, obviously we didn't get all the way through spring training, but we knew we had a very good idea, or a better idea, I would say, this year about what your starting five would look like. We knew Rio was going to be a part of that. Roark, Anderson, Shoemaker coming back from injury. Did it feel that way, though? I guess I'll go right to the source. Did you guys have a good idea of how your rotation was going to set up, even though, you know, spring training got cut short by 2 weeks?
I think we were still very open on the fifth starter, but the way Shu came in, the health he came in, and I think we were waiting to see how healthy he would be. But, man, he was physically as good as we've ever seen. Playing well with all of his pitches and feeling really good. So that kind of locked in the fourth spot in the rotation, and then it was just a matter of kind of working through the fifth spot and giving everybody, you know, an equal opportunity there. But felt like we had much better alternatives. We weren't going to have to force someone into place to some extent last year. Obviously, we did. Our pitching staff actually performed fairly well. But we were pushing guys that, you know, for in a lot of ways weren't ready to be there, and you know, certainly we're happier to feel like we were going to be able to give guys the development time necessary and make decisions on a little different scenario.
Well, I can't get you out of here before I actually ask you more directly about Nate Pearson. We've mentioned him a couple of times, but he's obviously a stud. You know, he's everyone in baseball that's seen him. His numbers are off the charts. But what do you like out of him most? And I won't ask you for a timeline because we're not sure even when we're going to be playing, period.
Right.
But, you know, how close is he just hypothetically in terms of being a truly dominant starter at the bigs?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reasons why the industry and there's so much public hype around them are really the arm. The guy throws extremely hard. He's big. He's physical. He's clearly athletic, but I think the reason why we picked him where we picked him, which was much higher than a lot of the industry had him, was because our scouts had done such an incredible job at getting to know him as a person. So he is curious. He's, you know, committed to learning and getting better. He's very intelligent. His work ethic and his routines are elite. Taking that with that arm and with that athleticism and with that body is a really good combination. The only precursor I would say is that pitching is extremely fragile. You know, the nature of pitching is it's fraught with guys that get injured and get hurt and have setbacks. And this guy has done everything humanly possible to control what he can control. Very easy guy and good guy to bet on. And I would imagine that, you know, obviously the development for him is to continue to work on his secondary pitches, but he's competitive, he's smart, he's tough, his work ethic's outstanding, and he's got a big arm. So all those things are really, really easy to get excited about and fun to get excited about.
Yeah, that works. I know there's a lot of people excited. They're looking forward to having him up here at some point. It's obviously, you know, this wasn't the conversation we were hoping we'd have, Mark. We'd hope we were talking about games, but, you know, that's life has thrown us a curveball here. But still appreciate you finding time for us, and stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll do this again down the road.
Likewise, I owe you guys an in-studio visit, but for right now, my thoughts are with you and all your listeners across Canada and in Toronto, just that everybody stay safe, stay healthy, and know that baseball will be back, and baseball will play a role in us returning to normalcy and healing and providing hope. The game's done that historically, and we're very much looking forward to embracing that role moving forward.
Yep, so are we. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
There he is, Mark Shapiro, president and CEO of the Blue Jays.
Boy, did you well. You were Larry King. I got my question in early, and
yes, you
that
did.
Was it. I got... Like in the group text behind the scenes, I got the hand. It was like, I step aside, pigeon. I got the floor. So you stepped in. And you were like, this was like an Uncle Buck situation, too. Remember when, was it Uncle Buck?
Which
or
one?
Where? Home Alone, where he's asking the questions. Do you remember that? Where he's like, what's your record for questions in a row? It's like 39 questions.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that is. It's Uncle Buck. Yeah, when the kid. That was Macaulay Culkin's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like
rifling at Bobichet, Vladdy Guerrero, Nate Pearson. Like, give us more right now. The thing is, I appreciate Mark coming on because there's a lot of uncertainty. And, you know, he knows if he comes on, we could just pepper him with, well, what about this? What about that? When are you going to do? And there's only so much we can get to. I think it was important that we tried to detail this agreement between the PA and the MLB as much as we could. But it hit a point where I was like, all right, let's start talking about baseball here. Like, let's start talking about the players and the rotation and the kids. And you're right, at 6:10, he had been on. We just did 20 minutes with Shapiro. At 6:10, I wrote the group, I'll just take it from here unless you have anything.
And I wrote back, I'm like, I'm good. Yeah, I will just sit back and listen. And you just went to town. That was a full Larry King.
That was a Larry. Yeah, that was a Lawrence King. Like, that wasn't even...
I'm back.
Wow, there he is. Because people have been wondering where you've been, too, man. Your connection's been all wonky. But
dude,
I've
just been trying for 20 minutes. I was close to saying, okay, see you Monday.
Well, here's
grinded it out.
In the corners.
I almost wrote a smart-ass comment in there. I said, like, a tough internet connection from driving up to... Are you driving up to the cottage right now?
Yeah,
you got the Atari machine hooked up to the phone.
it's connected to to the lighter in the car.
Exactly.
I will say this one more time. I'll see you guys on Monday. We'll chat then.
Yeah, right. Stick around.
What's Shapiro saying?
He had a lot. Well, I was peppering him. He held his composure too. Like, he was even halfway through, he's like, wow, you know, the book's kind of out. I guess we'll talk more about this. But
You should have seen this spectacle. Like, you were on the group text. Like, he's like, I'll just take it from here, folks.
No, I know, because we have an emoji thumbs up when you want to ask a question. It was just taking a beating.
He just Larry Kinged him. Like, it was full on, just a peppering. But it was good. Like, it didn't get egregious. Like, you
were peppering regarding what?
Well, more so just about player. Like I said earlier, I want to get his take on how he, Ross, the organization, you know, what they are projecting some of these young players are going to bring this year and what they want to see developed. So it was rapid fire. I just said Bo Bichette, and he gave us the details. Vladdy Guerrero, details. Kevin Biggio, details. Like, we got halfway through the batting order, and then it was like, okay, we'll move over to the rotation, hit some Nate Pearson takes, and it's all good. I mean, it's not Mark's first rodeo. He knows what's coming. He's just sitting at home anyway. So
no, I know, but he probably at one point was like, I got to hang up on this guy. He's just all over me.
Well, he gave the one. He's like, well, I mean, it's pretty well documented. I guess I'll tell you more. Like, what are you, a Yahoo? Have you not been paying attention? And you just never know. So anyway, thanks again to Mark Shapiro.